News special from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Each week, we'll be presenting special podcasts with portions of audio recorded at the 2006 Normal Conference in San Francisco. The complete speeches and more normal audio is available at norml.org/podcast. We'll hear from one of the nation's top lawyers, Judge William Murphy. Mr. Murphy's understanding of race and the drug war is personal and direct. His passion and eloquence make him one of the most important voices advocating an end to the drug war. This talk does contain explicit content.
And I've dedicated my remaining years to the battle against drug prohibition, a battle which has become so racist, so counterproductive, so destructive, so awful in terms of what is happening to this country and to its core values, that to me it is the most important fight that can be waged today. And I'm not a naive guy. I've been involved in lots of courtroom activity. I know lots of cops, represented cops, got cops in my family. I've had relatives of all stripes wrongfully arrested. I've been repeatedly rousted illegally. My son, who is a lawyer, has been indicted upwards of 14, 15 times. Just driving while black. And I understand what's going on, but it never ceases to amaze me. And I think I finally figured it out at the ripe old age today of 63. Why there's not even a debate about prohibition in America. First of all, if you look back at the last prohibition, it was a constant debate. The debate was narrowly lost with the Constitutional Amendment. As soon as the Constitutional Amendment passed, the debate quickened. The debate quickened every year after that. Americans were so divided about it because it criminalized the majority of the American population, as does current prohibition. That debate gathered momentum. Voices from all parts of the country could be heard in and out of the law enforcement community. It was essentially an all-white debate because back in those days, black people didn't count for much anything. Let's be clear. Black people were not part of the organization of the movement for prohibition. Black people were not counted as the victims of alcohol abuse. Black people were not counted among the criminalized for alcohol abuse. This was a fight waged homogeneously by white Americans about white Americans for the benefit of white Americans who were being criminalized as white Americans. Now let's segue to the next stage. There was this underground civil rights movement going on at the time. It was not a majority movement. It has never, incidentally, been a majority movement. And all of these black people of African descent in America who were the sons and daughters of the sons and daughters of the sons and daughters of slaves, no longer intimidated by risking their lives back home. That the civil rights movement sprang anew. It had adherents among people of goodwill in the so-called white community. And by the way, just let me give you a footnote here. I abhor race classification. I think it's the dumbest thing that's ever happened in the world. I think no good can come of it remaining. I am not a black man, even though I'm classified as one. You are not white folks, even though you're classified as such. If you internalize your race classification, you are a fool because you have lost sight of the fundamental human dignity which rises above classification of all kind, save perhaps male and female, where there are fundamental differences that cannot be ignored. And so I think race classification is total and complete bullshit. And the sooner we shed it individually, the better off we'll be. That's why in my more lucid moments, I refer to white folks as people classified as white, and as black people, as people classified as black, et cetera, because that shows the ridiculous nature of our refusal to shed this irrelevant skin and see the beauty of the individual inside. But back to the point. So now we're heading into the 60s, and several things happened during the 60s that need to be remembered. First of all, the 60s had a racist structure intact all over the United States. Law enforcement, totally segregated. To become a black cop was to become a pariah. You couldn't get promoted. You weren't considered a full-fledged police officer, but you had to be there to legitimize what was going on in the black community. The black community was being policed essentially by white males who had been trained in the Henry Ford tradition. If you will remember, Henry Ford became an industrialist of great power and presence because he understood race in America. He was the last to unionize, and only the Great Depression caused the Ford Motor Company to unionize. You know how he kept from unionizing? He had a three-part workforce. He pretended to be a liberal, but boy, was he cynical. One-third of the workforce was people who'd been here for three or four generations, white folks, so-called. The second part of his workforce were immigrants, people who were struggling to become Americans, who were the victims of prejudice, such as the Irish and the Italians and the Jews. And the third part of his workforce were African Americans from Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, who'd come up to Detroit via the Mississippi River for their first opportunity to work in American industrial jobs. And his approach was very simple. This wasn't humanitarianism because he was a deeply racist man. Anytime they'd be in the paint shop, for example, getting their asses kicked by the same toxic fumes because you get a Ford in any color as long as it was black. And you could hear the conversation. Damn, man, these fumes are fucking me up. And that would be the white guy. And then the immigrant guy said, in a barely discernible English dialect, he'd say, yes, these fumes are fucking me up. And then the black man would say, these motherfucking fumes are fucking me up. And so they'd be having the same problem. And they would immediately go to the logical solution to the problem. Let's stop these paint fumes. This is dangerous. We're all working under dangerous conditions. Until Henry Ford's men would sneak on in and say to the white guy, look, I saw you talking to that hunky and that nigger. And he'd fall in line. Then they go to the so-called hunky, the immigrant. Hey, man, I saw you talking to that nigger. What were you talking to that nigger about? We don't talk to niggers here, blah, blah, nigger this, nigger that. And he'd fall in line. And then they'd go to the so-called nigger. And they say, nigger, are you crazy? I saw you talking to that white man. Do you want to lose your job? No, sir, boss. And so the show kept rolling. They never could agree on the things they had in common. They were divided on the basis of race and ethnicity. And when I look at the police force that we inherited in the J. Edgar Hoover, who was in his last days when I was growing up in this profession, that's the America I saw. the America where I couldn't go into any neighborhood in Baltimore except a black neighborhood.
That was William Murphy, Esquire, at the 2006 Normal Conference in San Francisco, California. His complete talk is available on our Normal Events podcast. Visit norml.org/podcast.